I started a series a while back, Stay in Your Lane. As I told you, Karen and I adopted a saying years ago, and we can apply it to many areas of our lives. The lines are your friends. And so today we're just going to kind of challenge you. We're going to look at three individuals, Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. Today we're going to look at Abraham, next week hopefully Sarah, and then Hagar. And we're going to look at their lives, and I'm going to give you a perspective maybe you never thought about. Sometimes we kind of idolize these people in the Bible like they were some fantastic, wonderful, perfect people. But how many know they're not? And the Bible tells us they're not. And so that gives us hope. That gives us hope. We're okay. We're all right. We're on the right direction. And so as we share that today, just kind of be open to a what if. I don't know them. Some of you may have been around when Abraham and Sarah were walking the earth, but I wasn't. And so I may give you a different idea of what these individuals are like over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And so you may say, man, I don't know where you got that. You're off the wall, but I'm kind of reading between the lines here. And so what if, okay? So you're just going to give me a little leverage as I talk about this, okay? All right, if you don't agree, that's fine. But the principles of what I'm teaching are truth. Whether it's true of them, I don't know. We don't know them. But by God's grace, we're going to move on. Most of you have watched a movie or watched TV, gone to the theater or whatever, and you've seen people in the background. We know we have the main actors and we have the co-actors and all those individuals that kind of make up the cast. But you have those in the background. I don't know if you've ever observed them while you're watching a show or whatever, and you kind of wonder, I wonder what they're talking about at that table back there. I kind of want to kind of set that scenario because I want to set forth that Abraham is the actor and that there are others that tried to get in on it, on the action, like Sarah and Hagar. And we're going to see that really, it's not really about them, but Abraham gave them a place in their life that they never should have had. And so we're going to look at that. So when we talk about background, I kind of looked at it. I kind of thought about what's life without background actors even in our life. Could you imagine being in a family all by yourself? I guess it really wouldn't be a family, would it? But as we grow older, sometimes we find some of our elderly people, what, they find themselves alone, right? And so we go to school, we've seen what's happened to our kids that have had to stay home and not be able to interact with other students. We've kind of seen that. How many have ever, I know probably some of you enjoy working by yourself, but how many know that we're more productive when we work with other people? It's called synergy, right? That we can do 2, 3, 4 times more, are more productive when we work with others. If you've ever gone to the store and you're looking for something, you can't find help. I do that in Home Depot. I think when they see someone walk in the door, they all hide. And I've walked down the aisles saying, hello, was there anybody in here? Embarrass Karen to death. But that's how you kind of feel like at the Home Depot. But if you've ever gone to restaurants or any other place, we know we complain about the slow service, we complain about this, but how many know we're grateful for those who wait upon us? So there are background actors in our life. There are people, supportive roles in our life, and we interact with people every day. People make up our world. And so I kind of looked up what it was to be a background actor, which we sometimes call an extra. And it says, a background actor is someone who performs in a non-speaking role, usually in the background. Background actors help make movies, TV shows, commercials, and other productions look and feel more authentic. After all, hospitals, concerts, and city streets would just look like movie sets without background actors to give them life. A background actor's job description is to blend in. When the director starts a scene and they are shooting, the only people talking are the principal actors with dialogue, and any secondary actors that interact with them. Extras are directed to pantomime. You know what pantomime means, right? Be quiet, all right? So those people you see in the background talking, they're really not talking, all right? They're faking that they're talking, all right? So as not to interfere with the sound being recorded of the principal actors. So there are a few exceptions, but in most cases it's true. Background actors do not get film credits or lines. Isn't that a bummer, right? You're in a movie, you don't get to see your name on the screen. Sometimes, like on a movie set, some people step on the lines of or actions of the principal characters in a real-life scenario. And so that's what we're going to look at here today, individuals that kind of got out of their lane. So we're looking at Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar, and they kind of crisscrossed in their lanes, and we see that the results were not good. How many know these people were not perfect? We have three imperfect people that had a hard time staying in their lanes. But guess what? God used them. That gives us hope, doesn't it? It gives us something to look forward to, that God can still use us in spite of who we are. So today we're going to look at Abraham. And I want you to see here today that he was called to be a leader. God pulled him out to be a leader, but sometimes he found himself being a follower instead of being the lead man that God had called him to be. The promise of being the father of a great nation and inheriting the promised land was given repeatedly to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 through 22. Repeatedly he was told that you're going to have a child and you're going to become a great nation, and that the Canaan land was going to be the promised land that I'm going to give you. So I had to put some scripture in here, so we're going to look at Genesis chapter 12. I'm preaching, so I have to talk about it. So Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, "The Lord has said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you.'" So this is Abraham's lane. This is what God is calling Abraham to be and to do. He goes on in verse 2, "I will make you." I want you to say, he's not talking to Sarah here. He's talking to Abram. She's kind of a joint heir in this. Yes, she has a part in this. How many know she has a part, right? She is a supportive role, basically. But later on in chapter 17, she also receives this promise. But at this point, he's talking to Abraham. He said, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." How many know he's talking to Abraham, right, in this scenario? So, as I said, this is a what if, so just kind of bear with me as I kind of maybe give you a different idea of who these people are. And if you disagree, I give you permission. All right? All right. But listen, read between the lines. Listen to what I'm saying here this morning. Abraham may have been a follower by nature. And I'm just going to share some scriptures here just to give you an idea. In chapter 11, we see that Abraham's father is Terah. And he decides, "I'm going to go to the Canaan land." And so Abraham, Lot, and Sarah, they all tag along with Abraham's father. And they go, and they don't even get to the Canaan land. They stop in Haran. And so there, Haran lives out his life with Abraham, Sarah, and that individual called Lot. And so they don't quite make it to the Canaan land. And so they're there until Terah dies. And he lived to 205. So they were there probably a very long time. So they didn't quite make it to the Canaan land. They got stuck. So in verse chapter 12, we find that at the end of 11, Terah dies, and we see right here at the beginning of chapter 12, Abraham is called of God. We see that he is beginning to enter into his land. "I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your relatives," which we know he didn't really do, "and I want you to leave your father's house. And so this is the lane I want you to walk in." And so we see that Abraham obeys. And in chapter 13, well, what I want to point out is that he followed his father, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. He followed his father. So the second thing we see here is that Abraham and Lot are in this together, and there's a dispute over the land because there's too many animals, the herds are too big. And so instead of Abraham saying, I'm going to go this way and I want you to go this way, he leaves it up to Lot. And so once again, he's saying, Lot, I want you to pick a lane here. But how many know it's the wrong lane? And I believe that Abraham should have been the one who said, this is what we're going to do. Because we're going to find out, as he gave Lot the choice, it becomes a disaster. It becomes a thorn in the side of Abraham. Because we know, first of all, he moves towards Sodom. We see that he is captured. So Abraham has to go and rescue him and his family. And secondly, we see that the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know the story, sin was great there, and God said, I'm going to destroy it. And so we see Abraham's intercession, but we also see that Lot gets himself into some more trouble. We see that he loses his wife, what, remember, turns into a pillar of salt. He has incest with his daughters, and what, two nations are born that will again, futuristically, be a pain in the side of Israel. And so you can see here that instead of being the leader and deciding some things, he allowed Lot to make a choice. The promise wasn't given to Lot. The promise was given to Abraham. And so it does cause some trouble for them. I got to thinking about this. You know, everybody's into this ancestry.com, you know, and anthropology, trying to figure out people's lines, you know. And I kind of had that wild thought of that song, I'm My Own Grandpa, by Ray Stevens. So you may not want to look into your heritage, right? Because you may find some things in your tree that you don't want to know about. And that's kind of what happened here in the story of Lot. So we see here that Abraham followed his father Terah. We see that instead of making some decisions as the leader, he allowed Lot to kind of set the agenda. And now we see that 10 years later, after the promise that you're going to have an heir, that you're going to have a son, 10 years later, Sarah comes up with a plan. I don't know if you've ever read the Bible, but there seems to be a lot of women planning some things. We see it in the garden. Eve makes a plan. We see with Isaac, Rebecca makes a plan, and we got the battle between Esau and Jacob. You know, it's a pattern here. You can read between the lines. You can think whatever you want. But anyway, instead of Abraham taking control and setting the agenda, he allows his wife to get into the lane, and he follows Sarah. And then an Ishmael happens, and you don't want Ishmaels in your life. A dysfunctional family is birthed. And today, all you have to do is turn on the news today, and you can see in the Middle East, the dysfunctional family still is fighting in the Middle East because of a decision they made, because Abraham allowed Sarah to get into his lane. Instead of being the leader, he followed his wife's advice. So I would like to say here today, to my dislike, that I can identify with Abraham. And probably many of you too have gotten out of your lane or allowed people to get in your lane that should have never been in your lane, and we paid the price. So think with me, and if you would think honestly about your own life here this morning, there have been times when I have changed lanes and was in the wrong lane doing the wrong things. I've made multiple choices where I was in the wrong lane, and there's no business be in the lane that I was in. I chose to get out of the lane that God picked for me. But there has also been other times when I've allowed others to come into my lane, and I followed them. You know, as a pastor, you kind of want people to step up. You want to do things. But, man, I've had to clean up a lot of messes because I've allowed somebody to step up. Instead of me making the decision, I allowed them to make the decision. And how many know they don't clean up their own mess? How many know your kids don't clean up your own mess unless you threaten them, right? And so that's what happens. So a couple times, Pastor Whitney and I have had some conversations about, we're on a leadership team together, and we have discussed that there are certain things I'm going to lead in, and there are certain things that she's going to lead in. How many enjoyed the Valentine's banquet? All right. It was good, wasn't it? And I can't take any credit for it. I'll give credit to the one who's due, because we have decided that in some of our events and some of our calendar events that we're going to do every year, she's going to take the lead. Because I don't like to be up front. I'm not an MC guy. I don't mind preaching, but that's about all I want to do. I'm not an actor. I'm not that kind of person to stand up front. So she has taken on that role. She enjoys doing that. She lined up everything. She lined up the speaker. She had the theme. She decorated. So that's her role. That's her lane. And so there are areas of the church which are my lane. Next month, we are going into our missions emphasis. We're going to have three missionaries in the last 3 weeks of the month. And on the last Sunday of the month, we're going to have a breakfast banquet. And then we're going to have an informal, like we did for the Valentines, speaker come in, and we're going to take faith promises. And so I'm going to kind of run that. So she has her lane. I have my lane. And so we've come to that understanding. Sometimes we have crossed over some lanes and a little misunderstanding at times, but we've worked through it. But there are lanes. And I'm not just talking about ministry lanes, but life lanes too, that as husbands, how many know husbands, we have a certain lane to ride. And women, wives, all right? Sometimes wives, you like to drive in the men's lane because we don't maybe step up to the plate like we should. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But think about it. We have lanes that God has made for us, ministry and in life, and that we need to walk in. There have been times in galaxies far, far away, I don't know if you ever heard that, when I've made the mistake of allowing, as I said, others to lead in my place. And I've had some regrets, and I've had to fix some situations that should have never happened if I would have stayed in my lane. And what you find out is sometimes things happen that you just can't change, you can't fix. They're just consequences. You can be sorry you did it all you want, but it doesn't change the outcome. It doesn't change relationships. Sometimes it doesn't even change situations. So think about it here in that light. Abraham caused himself some heartache. He did, by not staying in his lane. So he had a son called Ishmael. And of course, it's not Sarah's child, and she has some trouble with this. And so Abraham's heart is wrapped up in this individual, in this boy, Ishmael. And how many know if it's your child, you just can't turn it off? You can't write it off and say, okay, that's the way it is whatsoever. No. His heart was wrapped up in Ishmael. But we need to realize that Ishmael was not God's plan. It was man's plan. So I want you to look at Genesis chapter 17. And it'll be up here on the screen. Remember, Ishmael is 13 at this time. Abraham is 99. And Sarah is how old? 89. All right. It's a little late to be having kids, isn't it? So think about it. Think about what I'm talking about. For 13 years, he has a son. And in that culture, the firstborn what? He is the heir. He receives everything from the father. The inheritance, the land, the property, whatever. It becomes his. He becomes the patriarch of the family. And so think about it. The situation is going to change here. Because God doesn't appreciate the situation because Abraham got out of his lane. The lane was he was supposed to have a child with his wife Sarah, but he had a child with his wife's servant Hagar, who was his wife, of course. So in verse 15 of chapter 17, it says, "Then God said to Abraham, as for your wife Sarai, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her." This is God's plan. "Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. You know, you read commentaries and they kind of snuff this off and just say, you know, this was just a laughter of joy. No, it's not. He laughed just like Sarah laughed. If you look up the word when Abraham laughed and when Sarah laughed when she heard she was going to have a child, it's the same word. And to even emphasize what I'm saying here, read the next line. He laughed. It was one of those incredible, you got to be kidding. There's no way kind of laugh. It says, and said in his heart, will a child be born of a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, give birth to a child? That to me does not sound like faith. Let's put it where it is, right? We blame Sarah, all she doubted and all this. Here's a 99-year-old man, right? He's laughing too. And listen what he says here in verse 18. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Meaning, I already have a son. His name is Ishmael. And look what God says. But God said, no. How do you like that? You know, sometimes God says no. Especially to some of our plans. How many know he knows the beginning from the end, right? He knows what's best for us. And so he's saying no to the plan of Sarah and Abraham. No. This is the New American Standard Bible. That's why I picked this translation, because it is forthright and kind of tells you what's going on here, like some of the other translations do. But God said no. Your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you shall name him Isaac. What's Isaac mean? Laughter, right? All right, that laughter of doubt turns to a laughter of joy. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him and make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation, which becomes a headache to the people of Israel. Verse 21, but I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you as this season next year. So that was the lane. That was the purpose. That was the plan. That was where Abraham was supposed to walk. That was his lane. The lines were not their friends. They crossed over on each other's lanes. Church, we can save a lot of heartache when we stay in our own lane. We can. Abraham is caught in a very hard place here. And as we look at Sarah next week, you're going to see that, man, there's going to be some head knocking here. There's some heartache, some hurt that comes out of the situation. And I'm going to tell you, Sarah's not a pretty individual. On the outside, she's pretty. But you're going to see some ugliness come out of this woman. She needed to stay in her own lane, but she didn't. I'm not going to blame Sarah because it was Abraham's choice. Just like in the garden, Adam didn't have to receive the fruit, did he? That's right. She did seduced him. That's right. Her wily ways. And we'll leave it at that. So God gives us promises, doesn't he? There are general promises in the Word of God today that are for all of us. But then God comes into our life and speaks to us specifically. And he gives us our own promises, just like he did Abraham here. We tap in, and because we are descendants of Abraham, we get some of the blessings from Abraham's obedience. But there are things in our life that we're blessed from because God speaks into our life and calls us as individuals. Aren't you glad that you know, we're not just thrown in a bag and shaken around, we're poured out, we all get the same thing? No, it's different. As we listen to God, stay in our lane, obey him, he does some wonderful things just for us. He blesses us. Peter talks about this in 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is the New Living Translation. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. There's some good stuff in there. And apply it to the story that we're just listening to. His divine power. You know, he desires us to give a godly life. He calls us. And verse 4 says, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So as we look at this, what is the divine nature? It's the Isaacs that God puts in our life. It's the promises for us that if we obey him, stay in our lane, man, he's going to bless us with Isaacs. But we see that what they do, they gave into the flesh. They had their own ideas. They had their own plans. And what they do, they came up with an Ishmael. And with Ishmael came heartache, problems that we're still facing today because they made the wrong choice, because they had their own plan instead of God's plan. It's important today, folks, that when we get in our lane, we better stay in our lane, because God wants to bless us with Isaacs. And when we get out of our lane, or we allow somebody else to come into our lane and follow them, guess what? There's going to be some Ishmaels running around. And you're going to be crying and weeping and asking the question why and blaming God. You know, when we ask the why, we're actually blaming God. Usually. This is good stuff. Amen? Amen. If I get a thumbs up from Jim, I'm okay. The rest of you, whatever. Sometimes staying in our lane means being the leader, but at other occasions, we may be helping others. Do you understand that? We are called to serve, right? But there's times we're also called to lead. Jesus was probably the ultimate leader of all time. And he said, I didn't come into this world to what? Be served, but to serve. But he was a leader. He is our leader. Hallelujah. He is our leader. Jesus was a leader, but he served, did he not? Jesus knew his lane, and he was never derailed by what everybody thought he should be doing, whether it be the religious leaders or his own disciples or his own family. How many times? No, he even had to deal with his own family, trying to lead him off course. Paul told Timothy to follow me as I follow Christ. But there came a time in the life of Timothy when there was not a Paul to follow. And sometimes we reach that point in our life as individuals where we need to stop following, get in our own lane, and be the leader. Timothy was a background actor to Paul. How many know that? Timothy never had a headliner. It was Paul and Barnabas. It was Paul and Silas. Never do we read that it was Paul and Timothy. They weren't a headliner together. They weren't co-actors. They weren't co-leaders. Paul was the authority over him. And in 2 Timothy, Paul thrust Timothy into his own lane. And when you read 2 Timothy, realize that this is Paul's last letter, epistle that he ever wrote. And he writes it to Timothy. And he's telling Timothy, I have finished the race. I've run the course. I'm going home. And you know, Timothy, somebody needs to get in the right lane to do their own job. We see here in 2 Timothy 1:7, we read this, we quote this. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Paul is thrusting Timothy, saying, it's time to get in your own lane, son. You can't follow me anymore. And see, some of us are in that area in our lives where we're pretty good at following. And even in my ministry, I have allowed people to step into my place, and I was willing to follow them. There was opportunities that came our way to be on staff with churches after I had been a pastor. And Karen's like, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. You know, God's not calling you there. And I was tempted to do it. But with the help of God, the Holy Spirit, my wife, Holy Spirit number two, and I stayed in my lane. I stayed in my lane. And so many of you here today, you know, it's time to stop following. It's time to stop saying, you know, the church really needs to do this, this, and this. How about you do this, this, and this? Because God hasn't spoken to us. He has spoken to you. And maybe it's time for you to get out following somebody else or, you know, allowing or wanting others to do it. Church is about us all being involved and doing what God's called us to do. So I want to encourage you here today. You know, if God's speaking to you and you think our church needs to have a specific ministry or a direction, hey, come see me. We'll talk about it. And we'll even release you. We'll even help you. Amen? We'll let you be the leader and we'll follow you and help you any way we can to get you where you're going. Amen. We've had Shelby back there, you know, came and said, you know, I have a heart for the older people in our church. You know, she didn't say, you know, will we do this? Can you find somebody? She said, I would like to do it. And she ran with it. She wants to do more with it than she can possibly do with her time and stuff. But yet, what'd we say? We're willing to follow you. We're willing to help you. We're willing to get it off the ground. So that's what we're talking about here. So as we look at this today, let me encourage you to find your own lane. And when you find your lane, stay in that lane. As I said earlier, husbands, you know, we have our own lane. And sometimes, husbands, we don't live up to our job description. And sometimes our wives like to help us with our job descriptions. You know, especially when your kids are growing up, you know, we kind of leave the discipline to mom. And then when you hear your name in a certain tone, you know you're supposed to step up. Right? I remember growing up, my mom would get frustrated. My mom's the one that whacked us, hit us. You know, one of those moms that whatever was in hand, you know, whether flyers, spatula, you know, she was a discipline. But when she hit that octave and said, Vic, my dad jumped. So we have our lanes. Men, we have our lanes. Women, we have our lanes. We have our lanes at work. You know, when you're complaining about your coworkers or whatever, that's not your lane. Mind your own business and stay in your lane. Do your job, all right? It's hard, isn't it? And even in church, you know, don't complain about the church. If you don't like the direction we're doing, or if we don't have a ministry that you think we should have, hey, come to us. We'll assign you a job. We'll let you be the leader. There are times that we can lead, and there are times that we will follow. That's a give and take. And we talked about Jesus' ministry. But the thing is, we need to learn the difference between the two so that we can save ourselves some heartache. There are times that we do not let people lead us. We allow Jesus and the Holy Spirit to lead us. But there are other times when people are gifted, they're talented, they have the skills, they have the intellect to do it, the creativity to do it. That's when we say, hey, we'll support you. We'll follow you. There are those times. And we need to really understand the difference between the two. Because there was a lot of confusion between Abraham and Sarah here in this situation. It wasn't a great idea. It wasn't a God idea. And sometimes we need that discernment to know when it is God and when it's not God. And I blame Abraham because he didn't refuse. He didn't refuse. Adam didn't refuse. So know the difference. When to lead and when to follow. Can we have those that are get ready to help serve communion. The one person we never stop following is Jesus. We will never leave Jesus. As much as we plan, as much as we strive to get things done in our life, let me just encourage you today, we never stop following Jesus. He is Lord. He is the King. He is the Master. But sometimes we need to discern in our lives when to follow and when to lead. Husbands, lead when you need to. Sometimes we do. You know, in the beginning, the Bible said that Adam needed a helpmate, right? And he created a woman. And men, our wives give us some great advice at times. Wives, stay in your lane. There is an authority structure in the Word of God that some women have a hard time with. But Paul lays it out. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. The man is the head of the woman. We don't say that in church anymore at weddings. Wives, obey your husbands. God forbid. But there is a unity that's a team. Sometimes men, we do have to make a decision, even if it's the wrong one, which I've made some wrong decisions. We paid the price for it. But my wife stayed in her role, her lane. I stayed in mine. I believe God has something for all of us to do. He does. And we really need you to figure that lane out. To get before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, what is it I'm called to do? And it may be to follow. One of the lists of the gifts or the offices in the church are the gift of helps. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Hallelujah. How many know we all can't be chiefs? There has to be some Indians, except in Kansas City. Amen. Just take a few moments, and if there's sin in your life, if you blew it this week, this is that opportunity where we get things straight with God. Lord, I blew it this week. I got angry this week. I said something. I looked at something that I shouldn't have looked at. Some ungodly thoughts went through my mind. I got angry. I got bitter. I was jealous. See, this is that opportunity we're reminded again. This is a time of refreshing. This is a time of communion, not just with the church, but with Jesus. Aren't you glad that he said if we confess our sins, we admit that, man, we blew it. He's so faithful that he wants to continually put up with us. Thank you, Jesus.